Good morning or afternoon. It's Sunday, February 2nd, as we're recording this. This is Not Half Bad, the podcast covering St. John's and Rutgers basketball. I am one of your hosts, Norman of Rumble in the Garden. You can find me at ecoachbias on Twitter.
And I'm Dave of onthebanks.com, the Rutgers blog, and you can find me at Dave_White on Twitter.
Now, being that I, Norman, am in the Midwest, I don't get to experience the lovely wonders that are the Super Bowl in the New York, New Jersey area. Dave, how is it? How's the traffic?
Amazingly, there is no traffic.
You mean Christie didn't stop anything for the Super Bowl?
Ugh. They are they're actually writing articles about how stunned they are that there's actually less traffic than there normally is. Because I think everybody is staying in. All the local people are staying in, figuring, yeah, I don't want to get stuck in traffic. Mm-hmm. And all the people who came in for the Super Bowl are in New York City.
Cool.
So we're good.
That's pretty awesome until today.
Yeah, I live about 5 miles from the stadium, and we have back roads planned out to get back from our Super Bowl party if we need to.
Oh, how far away is your Super Bowl party?
It's probably about 10 miles from here, but in the other direction.
Oh, so that's fine.
Yeah, we should be all right.
Cool. Sure. Well, I, for my Super Bowl party, I'm doing I don't know what. So,
okay.
I have a hard time caring. You know, it's Denver and you know, Seattle.
Yeah, I don't
while
care.
While I'm very on board with Richard Sherman things. If you've seen me on Twitter, I've certainly had a few moments where I've talked about, you know, the cultural meaning of the Richard Sherman issue.
Yeah, I went from hating him to liking him.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I do think that, you know, on a certain level, yes, he's a jackass. But I think that first, you know, most players are jackasses, even if they put on humble face like Manning does. And second, I also think that we really, as Americans, need to embrace the fact that there's a certain kind of hubris that goes into much of what we do successfully. So, yeah. You know.
I should rephrase what I just said. I went from never hearing of him to hating him to liking him.
Ah, yes, same. I mean, he plays on the West Coast. He plays in the NFC West. I know it's a competitive division, but when you're out here and you watch the Jets and the Giants, you don't really worry about other competitive divisions. You just worry, like, what is going on with my team?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, it's Super Bowl here, and there's not much going on, and it's warm today because, you know, the NFL controls the weather.
The NFL does have very powerful drones that go up into the sky and try to make it warmer for games.
It's 50 degrees out.
Sometimes they make it snow for Green Bay Packers games just for fun.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's crazy. It's 50 degrees out. Tomorrow it's supposed to snow. So that's what we have.
That sounds about right.
And you're in Chicago. What are you calling it? Chicaberia?
Shiberia.
There you go.
Yeah, Shiberia makes a comeback this week. But that's enough about the weather.
Sorry.
Let's talk both about the Super Bowl and about the some of the events that Fox had scheduled for yesterday's Super Bowl Saturday, including the doubleheader featuring St. John's and Marquette, and then Georgetown and Michigan State. Both games ended up in surprises. Obviously, St. John's win is more a concern of ours, but can we take a moment and say, wow, Georgetown beat Michigan State?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Who knew?
Yeah. And last night had one of the best basketball games in a long time.
Oh, my God. Duke and Syracuse?
Yeah. Evil beat evil.
Yes. It was amazing. And actually,
that was an incredible game.
Watching those two teams go at each other was fascinating. Duke especially had very interesting and exciting ways of attacking the zone, you know?
Yeah. I got home when did I get home? Oh, just in time for the Suleiman three. But I was out at dinner and they had the game on, and I'm going to say something silly, but don't laugh at me. But the way Duke attacked the zone reminded me a lot of how Gary Waters used to attack the zone when he was at Rutgers, and then when he beat them when he was at Cleveland State. Mm-hmm. You know, finding the big man at the free throw line and then right back out to a three-point shooter.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think most teams understand that that's something that you must do because, you know, announcers say it every game, but very few teams are able to execute it against that Syracuse length. And what, you know, Duke obviously has the length and quickness and skill to address it, but it seemed like they really practiced and really understood where the gaps would be. And guys would be just waiting on the back line, waiting. And I remember the Gary Waters and Cedric Jackson knocking off Syracuse that time. Impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Waters always played Syracuse well. Mm-hmm. He didn't win much, but it was always a close game.
I mean, sometimes it does come down to actual talent, you know?
Yeah.
But back to our teams. St. John's surprised maybe a lot of people, maybe not everyone, but certainly a lot of people, by not only beating Marquette, a team that's kind of in their range in the standings, you know, teams that should have been really good but are, you know, in the middle to bottom of the Big East. But not only did they beat them, they beat the crap out of them.
That was amazing.
It was a 74-59 game, and it never felt that close. I mean, once Marquette had started off with a 6-0 run, and after St. John's decided to wake up, they just put it on them. I think it was like a 22-5 run for much of the rest of the half. The second half, I think Marquette got it within 10, and St. John said, I think we're going to do our thing now.
Who's the big player for St. John's yesterday? Who really stood out?
Well, D'Angelo Harrison, because – and that's hard. It's hard to say that because, yes, he scored 27 points, but 11 of them were all in the streak that brought St. John's back over Marquette the first time in the first half. There was a stretch between, I think, the 12-minute and the 50-minute and the 12-minute mark where Harrison scored, I think it was like two free throws and like three threes just to say like, I think we'd like to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put in a few more points late. So, yeah, I would say that he's kind of the big factor, but I think really the big factor was the team-wide defensive effort. It was strong, they were responsive, they were energetic, they weren't just letting guys go past to block their shots, they were funneling guys in, they seemed to react and defend very well.
Looking at the box score, because I only watched a part of the game, looked like it was more the first half, you know, St. John's really put it to them. The second half, it was kind of even.
It was even, yeah. Yeah. But the second half was also garbage time.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it was straight garbage time. And, you know, both teams were a little loosey-goosey at times, but really, St. John's held them to, I think, 0.64 points per possession in the first half. Marquette couldn't do anything right. They couldn't hit from outside. It took a lot of long jumpers, you know, the St. John's shot. They blew shots at the rim. They just got shook, it seemed.
Huh. And it looks like St. John's got the biggest lead at, what, 24, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, 24. Oh, 26. They got up 26.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Sorry, I'm looking at a different line in the box score for the first time ever, and now I'm compelled by it.
Oh, what? What are you looking at?
The biggest lead.
Oh, yeah.
That on the play-by-play. I've never seen that before.
Ah.
Yeah. Margin.
Mm-hmm.
The margin line.
Margin line is totally interesting. And if you look at St. John's margin lines generally, they're actually quite disturbing. Even in games where they're close, you know, games where, you know, Steve Lavin will say, and we'll get back to this later too, where Steve Lavin says, you know, Steve Lavin has said that, you know, the team has played a lot better since the Georgetown game, where, you know, he started Kadeem and Jai.
He's my favorite.
I know.
He's my favorite St. John's player.
That name and that game goes into St. John's lore. But even since that game, the team has these stretches where, you know, they can't really score. And the other team comes back on them, you know, gets some easy shots. And they'll give up just streaks. And St. John's will be down 11 points in a game. And that's not necessarily a death knell. But it's worrisome. You can't keep doing that.
Yeah, you don't want to have to come back like that every game.
You don't want to have to depend on being explosive.
Right.
I guess while we're on it, you know, there's something you can say about the comparison to Steve Lavin's St. John's teams. I mean, not St. John's, Steve Lavin's UCLA teams, in that those UCLA teams, when they were on, often had the same feel. I don't remember the same kind of runs where they would get down by 10 or 11, but they just felt like teams that, when they were playing well, it just looked like half chaos and half like they could do nothing wrong, and they were getting to the rim, and they were just assaulting the other team, playing downhill, boat racing, as as Steve Lavin says. I think that's a terrible phrase, a terrible analogy.
That is really bad.
I don't know, because sometimes your boat race is like in a kayak, right?
Yeah, you got to row.
Yeah, it's like kind of stilted, you know.
Make sure you have the wind behind you and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's thinking of a motorboat race. Yeah. But then when I think of motorboat, I think of other things.
Different connotation. Yeah.
Yeah.
What could we call it?
I don't know. I mean, I always think of it as like playing downhill, like in football.
Skiing.
Like skiing, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And then sometimes you hit a tree.
Yeah. They've hit a lot of trees this year.
So St. John's won. That's great. They won 4 out of 5. The only loss was to Creighton, which
talk about that game. That was ridiculous.
It was tough because it was a last-minute loss. Hmm. Except, you know, St. John's was behind for good chunks, and Creighton outplayed them for big stretches. But, you know, St. John's also exposed Creighton as a team that really isn't good at handling the ball, it seems.
Hmm. Well, when your best player is how big is McDermott? He's got to be 6'6". Yeah, and he's bringing the ball up a lot. He's got the ball in his hands a lot, and I don't know.
Well, he's not the turnover problem. I think the guards.
No? Oh, okay.
No, the two little guards. I think it was like Devin Brooks and Austin Chapman, and who was the other guy? Jahenz Manigat. I actually don't know how to pronounce that. Jahenz
Manicotti.
From Harlem.
Turnovers. Who had the turnovers? Let's see here. Manicotti, Chapman, Dingman, and Brooks.
Yeah. So it was the guards, and I did not know Dingman had 4 turnovers. That's kind of sad. But the problem was that St. John's would just extend their pressure and honestly just start swiping. You know, they had really good, quick hands in that game. You know, they were, you know, playing up on them and just waiting for the right part of the dribble and, you know, reaching a hand out, poking. And that was pretty...
You're making motorboating, poking, hands. You're making a lot of weird references today.
Why are you such a pervert?
I'm not a pervert. Stop it.
Does your wife know you're a pervert?
Stop it. Edit this out.
What, are you only a pervert after 10? Is this how it goes?
Oh, boy.
Does your wife listen to this podcast?
No.
Oh, that's good. My wife does.
She does. Yeah. Hi, Norman's wife.
Yes, but Manicotti... Dingleman and Brooks, yeah, they did struggle, and it was a weird game. You know, it was a game where St. John's managed to get it tied late in the second half, which makes people feel like, you know, it was a game that just got away. But man, St. John's was getting that backside beaten for much of the game. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's great that they were in that position, but. You know, maybe some better play early or maybe some made threes and they wouldn't have been in that position. That's the same problem with Syracuse where
1 for 10 from three. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, in Syracuse, I think they went against Syracuse, they went something like 1 for 15. So, you know, if these are regular problems, maybe that's really the problem.
Yeah. The I mean, I guess it's smart that they ended up only taking 10.
Yeah. I mean, their strength against Creighton is. Their athleticism and their ability to attack the rim, they probably should have attacked the offensive glass a little more, but, you know, such is life. And Jakar Sampson had the long jump shot cooking. And, you know, it was an okay game. At the end, you know, everybody will remember how Chris Obekpa just kind of lost track of Doug McDermott.
That was a heck of a screen, though.
It was an illegal screen.
Yeah, well, still.
But I mean, nobody's ever going to call that, ever.
No. There was an illegal screen last night on the game-winning shot for Cal over Arizona, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, was it the butt screen?
No, it was just the guy, you know, he set the screen poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And when, I forget the name of the guy who scored the basket, went to dribble around the screen, the defender was just going to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't there, so he stepped up in the guy's way. It's a moving pick.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to call it then.
Yeah, unless you really, like, de-cleat somebody. Well, to use football terminology, I guess. Unless you really, like, knock somebody out. It's going to be hard to call that, especially in the waning moments of a game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, so, yes, there was a moving screen, but Obekpa did lose his man. And McDermott got a very clean catch. He might have made the shot even if, you know, Obekpa was on him at right when he was ready to release. but, you know, allowing him to catch it was bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, such is life.
Yep.
So, yeah, so St. John's moves on to play Providence next at home, a team that beat them a few weeks ago. I mean, Providence on the road, a team that beat them at home in that double overtime game that was kind of miserable. It was like two teams that made you think, are either of you actually capable of winning?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting game because, you know, if St. John's can keep winning these games, yes, they have a chance. But this is a tall, tall order.
They got them. They buried themselves. I mean, 0-5 start is.
Yeah, 0-5 start with a loss to DePaul.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a tough start. Villanova, Georgetown, and Xavier. But if you're planning on getting to the NCAA tournament, and we'll talk about this later, you know, if you're planning on getting the NCAA tournament and knowing that this Big East is, you know, didn't have any out of conference wins, you know, you need to win at least one, if not two, of those games.
Right.
But let's switch gears, talk a little bit here on Not Half Bad. We really should throw in a little more station ID. There's probably somebody out there listening, and they're like, what am I listening to again?
What did I subscribe to? What
Who
is this?
Are these guys? God, what is in my ears? We're like a fecal matter.
And what is going on today?
What is going on? I'm unfiltered today. That's the problem.
Oh, boy.
Let's take this unfilteredness and talk about the fantastic Rutgers Scarlet Knights win. Or, alternatively, we can talk about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights 4-game losing streak since we missed last week.
Yeah. Well, Rutgers kind of had the same kind of week that St. John's did. They both had St. John's lost to a much better team, but Rutgers... I don't even remember. They lost to, like, UConn when we didn't record. They played a pretty good game, but Shabazz Napier's just really good. They lost to... Oh, and then they lost those two games in Texas. They lost to Houston by 22 and SMU by a lot.
Now, losing to Houston by 22 is a little... you know?
I know. But we'll get... Well, yeah, well, they just didn't play well. They went to Texas, and there's nothing you could say. They just didn't play well.
Had too much barbecue, maybe?
Maybe. Which does well.
Or maybe exes. All my exes live in Texas. You know,
that's possible. I don't know. They just. That's apparently.
Oh,
you got one.
You know who's in Texas?
Oh no,
Mike Rice. That's the problem. He's working in Houston, and he was probably all like, you know, as you know, Rutgers ex.
Wait, what do you mean he's working in Houston?
Well, he was with John Lucas.
Oh,
working on his anger management. I don't know if he's still down there, but I know he was helping out John Lucas at least.
That's a good point. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
All your exes really do live in Texas.
That's a really tough road trip, too. But UConn went 0-2 down there, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
The Texas swing will become a thing of lore in the American.
Yeah. So there were some losses, and then Rutgers, they played UConn at home, played them really hard, but Napier took over at the end, got some phantom foul calls, but he's a good player. He's going to get those.
He Napiered, and, happens.
You know, he did that silly little head flip back like he got touched when there was nobody within 10 feet. He would be a great Duke player.
Yes, exactly.
So Rutgers then has to go on the road to play Temple. Temple was 0-7 in conference at that point. And when you're not a good team, which Rutgers really isn't right now, I don't like those games because you know Temple had it circled as a win, you know, as a game where they had a good shot. And Temple came out and played that way. And they went up. Wally Judge has a neck injury. He's been out the past two games. Yeah, and Miles Mack did not start. He was benched for some sort of team violation, some minor violation. Mm-hmm. And it showed. Temple was able to get to the rim with no problem. They pushed the – Rutgers hung with them for the first, I don't know, 16 minutes of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
They were within one or two. And then Dalton Pepper decided he just wanted to score like 14 points in a row. And I think it was a 13-point lead for Temple at halftime. And they came out and extended that lead to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan subbed out both Seagears, Mac, and who else? Somebody else. I don't remember right now. And he brought in Devon Campbell and Kone at guard. Oh, he subbed out Moore for a while.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. You know, if you're getting beat, it's probably J.J. Moore's fault.
So all of a sudden, Rutgers started chipping away. They were running an offense, passing the ball, getting the ball inside, and they were able to cut the lead. They whittled the lead down. He brought Moore back in, and Moore, with about 4 minutes to go, hit 3 3-pointers in a row.
Oh, wow.
And Rutgers took a 1-point lead with 2:47 left. And then I imagine Temple called a timeout. And who's the guy's name? Will Cummings, on the next two plays, went to the basket, no problem. Temple took a 4-point lead. They take a 6-point lead. And then he brought Mac back in. Mac hit a three to cut it to three. Rutgers put on a press. J.J. Moore steals the ball and lands and goes to call timeout, realizes they don't have any timeouts.
No, the Weber.
He didn't call it, though. So he started to call it, but as he realized it, he brought the ball. He went to pass the ball, and it got knocked away for a turnover, and Rutgers lost by 6. So 88-82. So nobody played any defense. And but it was turnovers. Rutgers turned the ball over 13 times. Mm-hmm. You know, and they played, but the last 15 minutes, they probably looked like their best 15 minutes of basketball this season. Mm-hmm. And
it carried over to Houston, it looks like.
It carried over to Houston, and J.J. Moore and Miles Mack went off. Moore scored 27 points, some real highlight dunks. Mack scored 25. And Rutgers just ran over Houston. They beat them 93-70.
I caught part of that second half after I went to see the University of Illinois at Chicago, one of our fine universities here, playing Valparaiso.
Ooh.
You know, nice low-level basketball, but let's just say in we figured out ways of getting in for very cheap. And So after the St. John's game, I went down and saw Levante Doherty, formerly of South Florida, going off as well. He's also very short and was, you know, just feeling it. He was in the zone and he was just taking threes and, you know, getting into the lane. And he looked, and then when we went to the bar afterwards, Miles Mack looked a lot the same. And I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like little Mighty Might Day or something.
I don't know anything about that team that you watched last night.
They are called the Flames.
Oh.
I make fun of their name all the time.
They were on fire.
Fire, yes.
Mac, when he's on, and what's interesting is for the first time in a long time, probably due to the Judge injury, Jordan started both Miles Mack and Jerome Seegers, which I think helps Mac keep his hand, you know, play a little more off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have to worry about ball pressure and being pressured and everything.
Yeah.
And it clearly helps him. He had 25 points, 6 assists, only 1 turnover.
Now, here's a question for you, because I was telling my friend who was I was watching the Rutgers game with. Mm-hmm. I was telling him that Miles Mack was a guy that even when he was being recruited, people were like, okay, we understand that he's point guard sized, but everybody understood that is not a point guard. And yet, he's actually a pretty good assist man.
Yeah.
Is he improving his point guard skills, or is he just very good at finding somebody else when he breaks down the defense?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, it's a subtle difference. You know, there are guys who, for example, Phil Green of St. John's, his timing is honestly, and I'm sorry if Phil Green's mom is listening to this. I know she's read the blog. But all nice people. Mm-hmm. But you know, Phil Green's point guard timing at times is just not very good. He's more of a scoring guard who can handle. And it's a weird part of his game where, you know, Steve Lavin will think, okay, I'm going to give the ball to Phil Green. That's great. But what you're probably going to get is a lot of, I think I can make this isolation plays. Sometimes it works. A lot of times it works. Mm-hmm. But that's different than having somebody like Jamal Branch who always has his head up and is always looking for, how can I make the advance pass? Sometimes Branch's passes are too adventurous, which is another problem. You know, and then you have to balance, you know, Phil Green's steadiness and lack of turnovers versus Jamal Branch's looking to make plays.
Yeah. I think Mac is getting better at being a point guard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Jordan wants to develop him into.
Mm-hmm. That's good for his future, sure.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. His assist numbers really go up this year. And I think it helps him out. It you know, the more he's willing to pass, the more he ends up open, you know? So I think he's getting better at it. He's a lot of times, though, he ends up, you know, if it's crunch time, I think he feels that he needs to be the scorer, and he ends up going up and getting double teamed, not knowing what to leaving his feet and not knowing what to do with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting better at it. And I think he's kind of getting some chemistry with Jack and actually E2. Nice. So, yeah, although E2 only scored 3 points yesterday.
Jack looked pretty good. He looked pretty active. Good. He was running the lanes well.
Yeah, I mean, he only played 6 minutes in the first half because he had foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But he played with four fouls, and he really steadied them. Houston tried to make a run. I think they whittled. I think Rutgers had a 25-point lead, and Houston was able to get it down to, like, 14 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought Jack back in, and I think Jack really, you know, he gets him, he's gotten very good, Jack, at getting himself to the line.
Mm-hmm. He sort of jacked them up, if you will.
Yes, and he's becoming a pretty good free-throw shooter. So there are parts, there are pieces here, and it's kind of weird because – when you look at who Rutgers has beat, they've beaten Temple, UCF, and Houston. So the lower half of the AAC, the American. Yeah. So is this like a turning point? Are they going to be able to do this against a higher level team at some point? Or is this just we're home and we're good at home against the bad teams?
It is fascinating, by the way, looking at their performances at home recently. Because, yeah, I mean, again, it's Temple and UCF and Houston. But, you know, those are three pretty good performances against UConn. It seemed like they were hanging close.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rack, I guess, has some magic.
Yeah. I mean, they when you look at the Louisville game and the UConn game, you never felt they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But they always kind of hung close. I mean, UConn, they had a 3-point lead 5 minutes into the second half. But they could never build on that. That was kind of when Napier took over. They were down 5 at halftime, and Seegers hit 2 threes, and Craig Brown hit a layup, and they were up 3. And the Rack was kind of rocking for the first time in a couple of years, and they just couldn't build on that. But I think they are better at home, clearly. They haven't won a road game yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I can't get a full – every time I think they're turning a corner – they have an embarrassing loss.
You know, turning the corner, though, and somebody brought this up on Twitter, and you know, thank you, Dylan, for this. You know, there are all these narratives that we try to use to, you know, to tie a team together. And sometimes there's just, you know, wins, you know, and there's wins over teams that you can beat. And there's not really a corner being turned. There's just, you know, a good matchup. And sometimes... Yeah, I mean, the team is developing, but not enough that they're going to be able to do this consistently and outperform their past performance.
Right. Well, what's nice is, I mean, we said Houston beat Rutgers by 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2 weeks ago, and Rutgers really returned the favor, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says. Is Houston a really bad road team and, you know, Rutgers is good at home, or have they improved in 2 weeks? I don't know.
I mean, I'll take a moment and say, looking at the schedule, that Rutgers does have South Florida twice. That's always fun for a win. Nice road win.
They never win at South Florida.
Oh, okay.
They never win there.
Okay.
But I was able to, optimistically looking at the schedule, find 7 wins total. Not 7 wins left, but total 7 conference wins.
That's not going to get them to the NCAA tournament.
No, well, come on. They're going to win the AAC tournament, so.
Oh, that's right.
I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
Miracle run. They're going to need some breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But
you think Carl Hess will give them a break this time?
No, they're going to need some breaks, like Louisville gets upset somewhere in there.
Okay.
And they're going to beat Memphis to win the American title and go to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 23 years. Here we go. I'm laying down the gauntlet, Rutgers basketball. I'm trying optimism for the first time in my life about this team.
People, this is a not half bad first. We now have our first Joe Namath level prediction.
Here we go. Laying down the gauntlet, Rutgers is going to the NCAA tournament this year.
I didn't hear anything. That must be a very light gauntlet.
Well, there's what happens if they don't go? There's no consequence to me, is there?
That's true. I mean, unless somebody out there wants to create a consequence, you know.
Consequence,
I mean,
yeah,
not boiling Dave in oil.
No, something like silly.
Yeah.
We'll come Rutgers up with is going to win the American.
Oh, my God. Please tournament. Stop saying that.
They're going to win the American tournament.
What did you have for breakfast?
I had cookies.
There we go. Too much sugar.
Miracle March, people.
Holy crap. What is
Miracle
wrong with
March.
You?
J.J. Moore wants to go to the NBA, and he's going to put on a show.
I feel like I feel like we should burn this part of the tape. This
no, is... no, leave it in.
Oh, no, no, I'm going to, but...
Woo!
Now, back to a team with realistic... Okay, not realistic. I am so sorry that I just said that. Back to the team that... back to the team that still has NCAA hopes or at least the talent to dream of NCAA hopes. For St. John's, I say it in laugh, but I do. I think that some people really believe that it is a possibility. I mean, the NIT is probably a lot more of a possibility for St. John's, which, you know, then makes this a fully disappointing season, because going into the year, the people around St. John's, including Steve Lavin, you know, did, you know, go on record in saying that they expected to get to the NCAA tournament. They had a trip to Europe. They had a whole bunch of returnees. They returned something like 96% of their minutes. And yet this is what happens. I mean, to be fair, too, last year's team wasn't so good that the normal leap you would expect by having that many players come back, it would be enough to get you to the NCAA tournament in the first place, which is something that, you know, nobody really wanted to talk about early. But such is life. But so now St. John's has won, you know, 4 out of 5, admittedly against, you know, 2 of the weaker teams in the Big East. And they have some chances to get some road wins, to get back against Villanova on the road, to get Creighton at home, to get back on against Georgetown, and maybe to knock off Xavier at home. I don't know. Maybe they can get back into contention. They only have 6 losses, right? They could go 12-6 in conference.
Right. Who are they playing? Like, what, do they have Seton Hall 12 more times?
No. No, they have Providence, Creighton, Seton Hall is on the 13th of February, right before Valentine's Day.
Aw.
And then Georgetown at home at night on a Sunday, which is a weird, weird time.
Yeah. Seton Hall has a Friday game this week against Villanova.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for Fox Sports 1, they were concerned with content. So a lot of the games are just in really weird times and spaces. And yeah. Creighton has like a week and a half off. Last Tuesday, they play next Friday, I think, against DePaul.
You just said times and spaces, which makes me think Fox Sports 1 is a TARDIS.
Is a tortoise?
TARDIS.
Oh. Oh, is this a Doctor Who reference?
Yes. And doesn't your wife watch Doctor Who?
No.
Oh.
I mean, she's not really a nerd.
Oh. Are you a nerd? You like Game of Thrones. So.
I'm a nerd, but I'm not a Doctor Who nerd.
Really? I am.
I'm going to bring in a Doctor Who consultant so I understand what the hell you're talking about.
All right. It's a little time machine thing.
Oh, is that the thing that he
That's
uses
the
to...
blue box, the time...
Ah. Tell me more about Doctor Who.
It's a British...
No, that's enough. Okay.
Time-traveling alien.
No, we're done. That's enough.
Okay.
But yes, time and space. I'm going to learn about Doctor Who just so I don't have to bait you. I'm not baiting you with Doctor Who conversation.
You're just going to avoid it?
Yeah. I'm good at avoidance. But yeah, for St. John's, you know, there is the, you know, hey, if we win most of our games, maybe we lose like, you know, 1, maybe 2, you know. I mean, if they're a 10-8 or 11-7.
Well, what are they now? They're 3-6?
They're 3-6. So that's a lot of wins.
You think they're going to go 7-2 over the end of the
Steve Lavin said they were going to peak in February. So, you know, if this team is actually peaking and actually able to put it on teams and make smart plays and start getting confidence the way they did back in 2011, then, hey, why not?
Okay. All right. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, see, that there's my hopefulness that they'll go 7-2.
I just predicted Rutgers is going to win the very first ever American Conference tournament. American Athletic Conference.
Oh, you want me to go more on a ledge?
I want you either to go all in or...
They're going to go 9-0 and then reach the finals of the Big East. No, they're not.
No.
It's not going to happen. Well, but if they do reach the finals of the Big East tournament, I think there's a conversation to be had about whether this team should be, you know, like an NCAA, you know, on the right side of the NCAA bubble. I guess. But, you know, again, you look back at their record, you know, and according to Ken Pomeroy's rankings, honestly, the last three wins are the best wins they've had over Ken Pom's 56th ranked team in Marquette, 96th ranked team in Butler, and 81st ranked team in Seton Hall. Other than that, you've got, you know, teams that might win their tournaments, but they're in the 160s, Georgia Tech's 117, San Fran's 115. You know, it's not – I don't know, man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't read St. John's. I think they're going to win.
I mean, they really need some good wins, and there aren't a lot of marquee wins just because the Big East is so, you know, didn't have a lot of out-of-conference marquee wins. Buzz Williams said, and I don't have the quote in front of me, so I'm not going to – I'm going to paraphrase him, but he was saying that in talking about his team's prospects that he really didn't know what it was going to take – and how many teams are going to go from the Big East. We don't know until after the selection committee evaluates the teams and makes their decisions, you know?
Yeah. Goodman yesterday said that he was thinking they're a two-team league.
Who was saying that?
Jeff Goodman. He tweeted that.
Yeah, I hate saying that, but I think he might be right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because the league is bad, but it's because the league has no patsies.
Yeah,
and that's a real, real problem. You need a Houston or a Rutgers to beat up on. I love throwing that in.
You can't talk about Rutgers anymore after they win the American tournament.
You're right. I can't. So I'll continue talking about Rutgers because that's not going to happen. But yeah, the league has a lot of, you know, good teams. But it's a weird league because it's not like mid-major level where you have some crap teams at the bottom and you have a bunch of teams in the 100s, 150s. You have a bunch of teams in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. And, you know, there's not really a chance for a win that'll make the selection committee turn its head the way that when you had Syracuse or Louisville or even UConn in the league.
Yeah.
You know, there were games where you could be like, oh, well, they beat UConn, you know, or in the ACC. Yeah. You know, there's always a team that ends up on the bubble after they beat Duke in February because somebody does it every time.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. Thinking of the Big East now, is anybody ranked? I know Creighton was ranked for a
Creighton
while.
Creighton and Villanova.
Oh, Villanova, right. Duh.
Yeah.
How could I forget Villanova?
How could you forget Villanova?
Good this year.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say. The future looks interesting. You know, at the halfway mark, the Big East just has this vibe of being a good league, but one without, you know, without more than two spectacular teams. So, yeah, the future is, you know, Xavier needs to go on a run or Providence needs to go on a run and solidify as a third team, or St. John's needs to just go ape over the rest of the conference and grab that third spot.
Yeah.
How about the American? What are they looking at the halfway mark?
Well, Louisville is good. Memphis is number 22, and Cincinnati's good. So they're at least looking at three right now.
Yeah. No SMU?
SMU had a really bad loss. They lost to South Florida.
Oh. Who loses in Tampa? Did they hit the strip clubs?
Everybody loses in Tampa. They're South Florida, even without – well, they're without Collins. But South Florida is a pretty good home team. I think they do send the teams out to party in Florida.
It's on us. Here's some drink tickets and a get-your-own-stripper dance.
Yeah.
VIP room.
But, So I guess SMU is kind of on the bubble right now. They beat somebody yesterday, too.
Yesterday, SMU beat Memphis.
Memphis. So, yeah. So they
beat
Memphis.
I think that puts them on the right side of the bubble.
Yeah, it probably does. So they're looking at four teams right now.
Actually, I would say three because, I mean, there's a UConn question. And the fact that now that I'm looking at it, SMU, that's the only really good win that they have. They lost to Arkansas, lost to Virginia, lost to Cincinnati, lost to Louisville. So they're going to have to prove something in the tournament.
Yeah.
In the conference tournament, I mean to say.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen because we know what's going to happen in the American tournament.
Yeah, and they did actually beat Connecticut, so I take that back. So those are the two teams that are kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, UConn's interesting. I think UConn gets the nod because they're UConn.
And they beat Florida.
They beat Florida, yeah.
And Memphis.
Memphis.
And Harvard.
Harvard. Yeah, that was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good game.
So that's the Americans kind of like there's a top and a bottom. There's no real middle.
Yeah.
That's what it's. It's not like the Big East where there's, you know,
a whole lot of middle.
A whole lot of middle. It's the exact opposite. There's really good teams and then some really bad teams.
It is amazing. There really is like a gap after the fifth team. You know, whether it's Memphis or Connecticut or SMU in the KenPom rankings, they're within three of each other, 31-30 and 33. Mm-hmm. But then after that, the next team is at 152, which is Temple. So it's like Temple, Houston, Rutgers.
What's Rutgers ranked right now? Like 180?
184, yeah. Wait. So it's Temple, Houston, South Florida at 180, Rutgers at 184, and, I forgot, UCF at 165.
Okay. So, and they're all those bad teams are battling for that six because they get a bye in the tournament.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they don't have to play that first day.
If they can get a winning record, they can get to the NIT. But these all look like teams that might not make the NIT. Only South Florida right now has a winning record.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. That's why it's college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a miracle sports moment since Jim Leeritz in 1996. So I figure I'm due.
Hmm. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like one where I really prayed for a sports miracle. I was a junior or senior in high school.
Uh-huh.
And Jim Leeritz hit that home run in the World Series to tie it. So I haven't had a sports miracle in a while. I've had some amazing moments, but never a sports miracle where I've been
like in your life or in sports?
In sports.
Okay.
No, I've had really good moments in my life. But yeah, so maybe I'm due. So that's why I'm making this crazy prediction.
Good. I believe in you.
Yeah.
I believe in your prediction.
Yeah. And Rutgers had some bad news this week, too.
Greg Whittington. What happened with that?
He was unable to get in due to grades. So he's not enrolled.
Hold up. Somebody can't get into Rutgers?
We're a public Ivy League school.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I let me not insult the Ivies.
Public Ivy.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. The public Ivy. What does that mean?
I don't know. I looked it up this morning because somebody was making fun of Rutgers having a Beyonce class.
Okay, that's amazing. I did not know that.
Yeah, they just started a class just on Beyonce.
That's kind of amazing or kind of interesting. Why not Beyonce and Jay-Z? Because I feel like the two of them together are a cultural phenomenon that I would study.
Yeah, I think it's a feminism class.
That's even better.
I think that's what it is.
That's cool. So.
But Whittington couldn't get in. So how bad? He had some bad grades.
But he came out of Georgetown. I mean,
yeah, he failed out of Georgetown.
That's also why he got booted from Georgetown.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess that was a chance you had to take if you're Eddie Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And at least it's better. We were actually talking at the game last night. The people who sit around me saying, you know, you take the chance, but it's not like he got in. You know, had a really great out of conference season and failed out in January.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He never made it. You couldn't count on him. He would have been a nice piece, but, you know.
What year is Whittington?
No harm, no foul. He would have had 2 years left.
So he's too old for junior college.
Yeah, I guess he could. They were saying he could go to a junior college for a semester, or try to bring his grades up and then get in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's going to happen. Because I don't think Jordan wants to waste the scholarship waiting to see if he brings his grades up. He'll probably find somebody to use a scholarship on.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. I guess Whittington can, you know, I don't know, bounce around somewhere and end up in, you know, at Valpo or something like that.
Shane Bohannon is at Colorado State or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Which is lovely, by the way. I really like Fort Collins.
Yeah, some good beer there. Okay, so who does St. John's have coming up this week?
Johnny's have Providence in Providence on Tuesday the 4th. They've got Creighton a week from today. And then they've got Seton Hall the day before Valentine's Day. Interestingly, though, the game next Sunday is a 7 p.m. game, which is weird.
It is weird. They're just looking for stuff to put on TV.
Yeah.
Fox Sports 1. Mm-hmm. They have one show. That's why it's Fox Sports 1.
The crowd goes wild.
Rutgers is on the road for two games this week. They're at Memphis on Tuesday, and then they're at USF on Saturday night.
Cool.
So,
are they going to motorboat race anybody?
I don't know.
Come on, you're so hopeful, right?
I am hopeful, but not till the tournament.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that they would get themselves in a good position so that they would. No. You're saying that Rutgers will continue to lose most of their games.
Yes.
Go into the tournament around, like, you know, ninth in the American, and then run the table.
Yeah, I'm calling crazy out of nowhere a miracle.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win at Memphis, and I don't think they're going to win at USF. Beyond that, who knows? But it depends upon if they play their game. There's enough scoring on this team, it seems, that if they play their game, they can win some games. But they're not good on the road, and they're not good against good teams.
Yeah.
Until the tournament, when they win the tournament. Beating Memphis.
I mean, they were good on defense yesterday, it seemed. So.
Yeah, but they still gave up 70 points.
Yeah, but they were, I mean, it was less than a point per possession.
Yeah, that's true. How they want to play. I mean, that I think Jerry Carino put it well on his blog this morning, that's how Jordan envisions playing. Fast and loose on offense and, you know, just good enough on defense where you can create some opportunistic deflections and turnovers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it looks good, but I think I don't think the players fit that system this year.
Not quick enough, you think, or not long enough, or what?
Not long enough. He wants big time length on this team, and you see it on the press because he's running the press, and the length is killing him on the press.
Mm-hmm.
And he presses, you know, two or three times a game, and each time it leads to like one turnover, which is good, and then four layups. So
problematic.
Yeah, but that's what they got. That's what's going on, and that's it.
Cool. Well. Yeah, we will be back next week to discuss.
I don't know. I'm going to be in Baltimore next week. I'm leaving Sunday morning. I have to do a reading. Buy my books.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm doing a day trip to Baltimore, so we might have to try and catch some other time period.
Okay.
We'll have to work out.
Yeah, we will discuss when this the podcast will return.
Yeah.
until that point, or maybe I'll go and hire a South Florida blogger to come on.
There you go.
Talk crap about Rutgers.
Yeah.
But yes, until that time, we have been Not Half Bad, your favorite podcast that you listen to every week or so. That's Dave.
I'm Dave.
He's of onthebanks.com, and you can find him at Dave_White, where he often tells scatological jokes.
Yes, scatological jokes, Chris Christie stuff. And Rutgers stuff.
Yeah. I'm Norman, Rumble in the Garden. You can find us on the Twitters, or RumbleSBN, or you can find me at Ecos Bias. I say very nice, clean things, and I'm very safe for your mom, your kids, and your very conservative friends.
Yes, that's Norman right there for you.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, but have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week. And again, if you need to reach out to us or ask us any questions, reach out at nothalfbadpod@gmail.com.